Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Wokeness is now firmly established in our everyday vocabulary, not only because a lot has been written about it and a lot of discussions have been had on wokeness and woke ideology, but because we encounter it every single day. All you got to do, go onto social media, turn on the television, you will find wokeness on display. Go to work, talk to your HR department. You'll probably find out that they are also into woke ideology. So it's part of our vocabulary. It's part of our lives. What about Christianity? Do the woke find so completely intolerable? And who is the woke version of Jesus? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk Christian satire and woke ideology with the authors of a new book, The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness. Kyle Mann is editor-in-chief of The Babylon Bee. Kyle, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Joel Berry, he's managing editor of the Babylon Bee. Kyle and Joel are co-authors of the new book, The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness. Joel, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Joel, is it difficult to satirize woke ideology?
Yes and no. On one hand, it's easy because it's almost self-parody. You'll find that a lot of the stuff that we wrote in the book didn't have to exaggerate what wokeness is very much for it to be funny by itself. But therein kind of lies the challenge of it. Satire is about stretching reality to make a point. And sometimes it seems like wokeness has gone so crazy, things are so absurd that it can be difficult to exaggerate it beyond what it already is.
Kyle, how do you walk that line of saying, we want to make fun of this because it is so easy to ridicule, but it is a serious subject, woke ideology?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the satirist, any target is fair game on one level, and we want to use a lot of things just to make people laugh. Like, that ultimately, I think, is the loftier and higher goal of comedy and satire, really is, just to have more humor in this world. And so, you know, whether we're telling a easy little church joke or an everyday life joke or we're making fun of wokeness or whatever, I think the goal is to just, you know, attain to this higher standard of like making people laugh. You know, that God made humor, right? So humor's good. And it's something that we want more of in the world. And right now, what everybody's talking about is wokeness, you know, so that's what we're going to make fun of. On the other hand, we believe that underlying this movement of wokeness, which is kind of a, you know, a moving target and a shifty, sinister thing, you know, we think that there really is a deadly ideology there. I think it really is trying to divide people and make people think in collective terms rather than in terms of the individual. So we do hope that our satire and our book really do make people think as well as make them laugh. There's a famous G.K. Chesterton quote where he said, humor can get in under the door while seriousness is still fumbling at the handle. And that's kind of how we see a lot of our satire is it really, you know, it does kind of cut through the noise and make people think while their guard is down because they're laughing.
Joel, on the other side, how do you explain the just this kind of dour humorlessness of the woke ideologues?
Yeah, I guess I would say that at some level, I understand it as a Christian, because I think, you know, don't we both know that Christians have been guilty of being dour and humorless at times, you know, when you're not secure in your worldview?
Not
I think
Lutherans,
that
though.
You're a little more sensitive to ridicule and mockery, because if your ideology falls to mockery, there's something wrong there. And so I think that people who aren't really confident in the truth, confident in their worldview. And wokeness is really, it's very much kind of an artificial system of morality that's been created from scratch to really replace what we have in our Western world through Judeo-Christian values. I think that it is a lot more sensitive to laughter because, it is kind of a house of cards, a little joke, a little jab here and there, a few questions, and the whole thing kind of collapses on itself.
Kyle, you interjected there a little bit, something about Lutherans being hilarious. What were you saying?
Yeah, Joel just steamrolled right over my joke, so the moment has passed. But yeah, no, I was just, you know, Lutherans have always had a good sense of humor, so I was just trying to pander to your audience.
All right, so as a definition that doesn't really even need a satirical note, what is wokeness, Kyle?
Well, yeah, that's the problem, right? Is that it's not really well defined, and it's ever evolving because it's kind of turning into this monster that it is now. You know, I feel like wokeness was something we were talking about 5 or 6 years ago, almost in just a very jokey way, like, oh yeah, let's get woke. You know, you got to get woke, and we didn't really think much of it in terms of a cultural phenomenon. It was a punchline of a joke, and now it's like invading everything. But I think wokeness can be summarized as kind of a neo-Marxist way of looking at the world. It's not specific to any one discipline. Wokeness touches everything. Some people would say wokeness ruins everything, and I think I would agree. But wokeness is it's a worldview. It's a religion. It's a way of looking at the world. You divide everybody into classes based on levels of oppression. So it is this collectivist way of looking at the world where you say, how oppressed are you? How many intersections of identity do you have that make you more and more oppressed? How much of a victim are you? And how are you going to improve yourself? How are you going to save yourself? This is the path of salvation of wokeness, by doing better and by making amends and by pointing out microaggressions and finding ways to point out ways in which the world needs to be made better. You kind of get the vision of everybody who says they're woke on the left. They're all standing around with knives to each other's throats, ready to pounce if somebody stumbles, you know, and it's this very judgmental, fundamentalist worldview at its core. But yeah, it is this paradigm, oppressor versus oppressed. And that doesn't matter if you're talking about race, gender, TV shows you watch, anything, you know, you name it, and it can be tainted and touched by this ideology of wokeness.
Joel, he kind of evoked the image of people standing around with knives to each other's throats. What are the primary weapons of woke ideology?
Yeah, I would say probably the biggest weapon is coercion, and that takes many forms. I mean, through the government, through the state. You know, in our culture, it looks like peer pressure, cancel culture, deplatforming and firing people from their jobs. I think, and that's necessary for woke ideology because it's not something that can stand on its own through logic and sound reason. It kind of requires this sense of collective force to implement and to maintain. And we have a funny chapter in the book about how to fight fascism with violence. We saw that a lot last year through the BLM riots, a lot of the Antifa riots. There's this sense that they're kind of becoming what they claim to be against in enforcing this ideology on others.
Kyle, is it inherently self-destructive? In other words, does it sow the seeds of its own destruction because it's always on the hunt for violations of its orthodoxy?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. The snake will eat its own tail eventually. It's just a question of how much damage it can do before it gets to that point. Progressivism as a whole and wokeness as this kind of fringe version of leftism that has kind of taken over a lot of the movement, or at least a lot of the schools and some of the leading thoughts on it. It's a leech. It's a parasite. It cannot stand on its own. It doesn't build anything on its own. It latches onto existing institutions and ruins them. Woke people never build a country or found a university or make true good and beautiful things. They take those things and ruin them. That is part and parcel of the ideology. It's deconstructionist. That's what it does. It needs a grievance in order to survive. So it needs something good that has been created. It needs to try to find some kind of flaw or any mistakes in the history of that thing, and then exploit that to make people miserable, make people think about oppression and think in terms of wrongs that were done rather than blessings that we have, and then topple the entire thing. Chesterton wrote about this a lot, about how rebels rebel against everything and stand for nothing. and they don't realize that by rebelling against something, they are setting up their own new order. They're not prepared to do that. They're going to, you know, they're going to have to, if they succeed in this whole deconstructionist movement, they are going to become kind of defenders of this conservative thing at some, on some level, because they're going to have to build something new and they're going to completely fail at that. So it will collapse. It's a question of when, I think, rather than if.
Joel, there was a time, and this now seems so quaint, early in 2020, when the woke forces took to the streets and attempted to establish physically for themselves these, what were they called? Autonomous zones.
Autonomous zones. Yeah,
there's CHAZ, and there was several other of these. That just seems like ancient history, but it also seems like a lesson that should have been learned about wokeness altogether. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. I mean, because it was just, I mean, on one hand, it's tragic to watch, but there was so much that was funny about it. You know, they started to have, I remember when CHAZ was kind of in full swing, they started to have problems with crime and people getting beaten and robbed and things. And so they thought, well, you know, what should we do to handle this crime problem? You know, let's have guys who are armed who can then, not police, of course, but, you know, guys who are armed that can then enforce our agreed upon rules somehow, essentially recreating the police, you know. And it obviously failed miserably.
Maybe have them, you know, wear matching uniforms so that they could be easily identified.
Build a wall.
Yeah, give them cars with lights on, you know, sirens on the top so you know they're coming, you know, all that stuff. It was funny to watch them, you know, try to feed people, you know, distribute, you know, supplies to people. It's kind of funny how revolutionaries typically have this, you know, flowery utopian vision of what the world could be like, but when it all comes down to it, you need some people to clean the sewers, you need some people to harvest the potatoes, and they're not so good at it when it comes to all that.
Joel Berry, along with Kyle Mann, are co-authors of the new book, The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness. We're talking Christian satire and woke ideology. Were the global pandemic and woke ideology made for each other? Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at outdoornativitystore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities. OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about Christian satire and woke ideology with Kyle Mann and Joel Berry, co-authors of the new book, The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness. Kyle, it seems like wokeness and the global pandemic were just made for each other. Why is that?
The pandemic was definitely something that people on the left could use to push their agenda. That's not a conspiracy theory. They said that, you know. I think it was Hillary Clinton early on in the pandemic said something like, we have to use this to push our agenda. And you're just like, oh, okay, well, at least you're saying it out loud. But I mean, on so many levels, right? Just a human nature level, like, what does wokeness want? It wants us divided. It wants us to see each other as a collective. It doesn't want us to go outside and talk to our neighbors. It doesn't want us to talk in the town square with people who disagree with us. And so when you have this global pandemic where everybody's locked in their homes and suddenly you're a good person for doing that. You know, you're not a weird hermit or germaphobe for locking yourself in your home. You are a model citizen now. And now you're interacting with people online. You know, you're jumping into Mark Zuckerberg's dystopian metaverse. You're seeing people as American flag avatars versus rainbow flag avatars. You're now seeing it as this divided thing. And that's dangerous and unhealthy. And I mean, I'm not saying there's not a place for slowing the curve or whatever they were trying to say right at the beginning. You know, I'm not saying people should be stupid. I am saying that there was definitely an element of there where wokeness and the left's agenda was able to latch onto that and really use it to push a lot of their ideas. So yeah, I mean, I think the more that we can push against that, go outside, shake hands with neighbors, see smiling faces, that is how this thing is going to crumble in the end.
It also seemed to really prey on like the religious instincts of wokeness too. If you think of wokeness as a sort of fake religion, you kind of had these, you know, the totems and the outward signs of righteousness, you know, during the pandemic of masking. You had, you know, the patron saints, you know, Fauci and others. So there was a little bit of that going on too, the virtue signaling idea that you have to find a way to be righteous, and the pandemic gave people other ways to do that.
Joel, if you would talk about some of the, we could call them apostates from wokeness. I'm thinking about Barry Weiss, formerly of the New York Times, and Andrew Sullivan, who kind of early on felt the sting of this thing and have become, at least through social media, some of rather mild critics of woke ideology.
Yeah, well, it has been kind of funny to see that there's been this strange new alliance between Christians and conservatives and, you know, what you might call classical liberals on the other side, you know, atheists. I know Barry Weiss she's a liberal. She's a part of the LGBTQ community, but there's been this alliance formed between people who really just, I think when it all comes down to it, value the truth and are willing to call this movement out. The other encouraging thing too has been on the comedy side. We've seen people like Dave Chappelle, Bill Maher, people who we wouldn't agree with on a lot of things. Wokeness has become kind of a step too far for them, and they've had the courage to call this movement out on a lot of its excesses, which has been really refreshing to see. And I hope it spreads. I think that when, you know, a few people have the courage to stand up and take the heat, as Barry Weiss and some of these others have, that can be contagious and encourage other people to stand up as well.
Kyle, what is it about Christianity that the woke find so completely intolerable?
I mean, forgiveness. How about forgiveness? I mean, you know, Christianity is this ultimate paradox where you have both an acknowledgement that humans are depraved and evil and all of that, and can be absolutely horrible, and also that they can be absolutely redeemed to be glorified, to be these amazing, wondrous creatures made in the image of God that even angels long to peer into the mysteries of what occurred there. You know, so, you know, you have an acknowledgement of two things that seem contradictory on their face, absolute evil and absolute redemption. So wokeness acknowledges the absolute evil and refuses to acknowledge that we are valuable creatures worthy of being redeemed. And their only path towards salvation, their only mode of sanctification is this beating yourself, doing better, acknowledging all the right things. And it is a hard yoke and a heavy burden for them. You could look at various aspects. You know, you can look at gender and race. And, you know, Christ did break down the wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. And I think in a broader application of that verse, between all races. the Bible acknowledges that we are all made in, we were all of, in one blood. We're not really separate races, though we are. God rejoices in that diversity, but at the same time, we are all humans. That is not part and parcel of wokeness. They want you to see each other primarily based on your skin color or your intersectional identity, and not as your identity in Christ.
Joel, I once wrote an article called Everybody Loves Jesus, pointing, and this was years ago, decades ago, basically saying everybody, nobody really wants to get rid of Jesus. They just want to modify him to fit their preconceived notions. Mm-hmm. What's the woke take on Jesus?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there that I think people on all sides of the political spectrum, you know, including people on the right sometimes, we all want to take Jesus and turn him into the perfect avatar of whatever our political ideology is. And it just doesn't work. You know, you read the Gospels, you read the words of Jesus, and Jesus will have something to say that will cut to the heart and expose the sin in every single person, no matter what your political persuasion is. But the woke take on Jesus is, you hear these buzzwords a lot, you know, okay, he had brown skin. He was a refugee because his parents fled to Egypt. He was a socialist because he fed the poor and, you know, distributed the loaves and fish to the 5,000. And we kind of play with that in the book a little bit and have fun with it. It's, you know, what people don't know is that socialist Jesus also had to raid a nearby village to feed the 5,000 and tax them at an 80% rate. But there's, I think if you cherry pick from the Bible, you can easily make Jesus into whatever you want him to be. And it's a lot harder to look at Jesus for who he is and let him expose who you are. And the woke movement is not willing to do that.
Kyle, this is something that mystified me. Why has corporate America been so attracted to woke ideology?
Well, basically because all of those whiny college liberal snowflakes that we all made fun of 10 or 20 years ago and said, well, you're going to have a rude awakening when you come out into the real world. You know, you're going to have to get a job and, you know, your boss isn't going to take that crap. I don't know if Lutherans can say crap. Sorry, cut that out if you need to. And those people left college and then took over all the HR departments. They took over all the leadership roles. They took over all the middle management positions. And we suddenly realized, oh no, we have this monster on our hands. So I think there was kind of this generational thing where the people that we kept saying, oh, it's all right, they'll grow up. And we didn't address that then. We didn't cut that out. We didn't cut the roots of it then. And now those people are millennials. They're 35, 40, 45. They're Gen X, you know, young Gen X or older millennials. And those snowflakes are running these corporations. I mean, I also just think on a broader level, if you don't look at it on that societal change level, is like corporations love anything that makes them look virtuous, you know, and that's part of wokeness is virtue signaling without any cost to you, yourself. It's not actually going out and changing the world. It's wanting as much virtue credit as possible for as little work as possible. So wokeness is very attractive on that level because you can just post a rainbow corporate logo in June and you get all these news outlets talking about you like, oh yeah, they're one of the good guys, you know? And I think they're also very averse to any kind of risk. So if you were the company that was like, ah, screw Pride Month, we're not doing the rainbow flag. No company wants to be the one to do that because that's risk. So I think corporations are ripe for wokeness for those reasons. And also, like I said, just wokeness is this snake that's looking for easy prey. You know, it's looking for institutions that already exist. And, you know, what better than corporate? So it's going to hit any institution, whether that's churches, corporations, the government. It's looking for institutions like that.
Joel, what has wokeness done to the entertainment industry?
It's completely ruined it. Wokeness makes it very hard to make good art because, you know, the most important thing in this ideology is to preach your message. When you're making a movie or writing music, furthering the agenda, furthering the political agenda becomes more important than creating excellent, good, true, and beautiful things. And so what we've seen in the entertainment industry is there have been these great stories, these great franchises that have been created in America through movies, music. Wokeness kind of latches onto those like a parasite. It'll kind of play off of the greatness and the loyal fan base of a beloved story or movie, and it then just kind of inserts its political message until that thing is dead, and then it kind of moves on. It's kind of like a locust kind of moving from one franchise to the other. You know, Christians, again, not Lutherans, but other Christians have been guilty of this too. I think Christian movies get a bad rap because they want to preach a certain message or throw everything, including the kitchen sink, into a movie instead of really just creating a good piece of art that stands on its own. So I think, you know, there's great opportunity for those of us who value good stories, who are not a part of this woke ideology, to really kind of pick up that torch and create awesome things, awesome art, and awesome stories. So I'm optimistic about the future that we'll see some, hopefully, a kind of a reawakening of some of this stuff.
We're discussing Christian satire and woke ideology with Joel Berry, managing editor of the Babylon Bee, and Kyle Mann, editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee. They're co-authors of the new book, The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness. When we come back, how did woke, I think in just the last week, become a racial slur?
The Church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Supply chain problems and inflation worries dominate today's news. Fortunately, Ed Krusum doesn't buy mass-produced products from China or anywhere else for that matter. We make nearly everything in Denver, and most of our raw materials are American-sourced. So Ad Crucem is looking forward to delivering your orders this Christmas season. None of this would be possible without your trust and loyalty. Please visit us at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Christian satire and woke ideology with the co-authors of The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness, Kyle Mann and Joel Berry. Kyle, this week, Joel Anderson, who's a writer for Slate, tweeted, quote, "If you're not black and started using woke pejoratively sometime post 2018 or so, or worse, don't know anything about the earlier iteration of the term, I think it's fair to consider it a racial slur." How do you respond?
Well, doesn't that just perfectly sum up the insanity and how quick this movement is progressing? I mean, you got to give it to progressives. They do progress. They progress towards a cliff, but they're progressing. It's just the perfect example. You know, I was watching a show from 20 years ago recently with my wife, and I'm listening to the words they're saying, and it's not offensive. It's not something harmful, but you're just like, oh, wow, they wouldn't have done that today, you know? And it caught me that, like, wokeness has infected my brain on one level. Like, I'm like, that's not an offensive word. It's not offensive on at all. But, you know, that word has become, I don't even remember what it was, but I just remember that certain phrases they were using I was like, oh yeah, they would come for them and cancel this show today if they said that. And you look at something like this, where this guy's all of a sudden saying, actually, wokeness is now a racial slur. And you can picture in 5 years, someone's going to pull up this interview and say, Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee said the word woke in an interview on the radio, a well-known racial slur. You know, they're going to topple my statue. I don't have a statue, but,
I worked hard on that statue. Gosh.
We're just witnessing that in real time. Like, who decided that these words are offensive, and now this is the new bad word? But that is how you score points in the paradigm of wokeness. Is if you can be the one to find the microaggression or the offensive term, if you can be the one to go, what's actually problematic is cheese. And you're the guy who discovered that cheese is racist. You have this leg up in this new social order. So for this guy to say it, and then I think I remember that thread, he went on to say, like, I'm not saying I'm going to do anything to you, but I'm not saying I'm not going to do anything to you if you said woke in the last few years. And it's like, what? You're defining it right now? And now you're like doing this vague passive aggressive threat to anybody who said it in the past few years. That's scary. It's Orwellian. It's insane. Yeah, there you go. There's your soundbite. Wokeness is insane.
So, Joel, how do you respond to your critics who say that you guys are poster boys for white male privilege? You epitomize everything that's wrong with white Christian males.
We hired one woman to so we could fight against those.
Yes. Yeah. We do have a very diverse group of people working for the Babylon Bee now. We made a few token hires to take care of that. There's not much you can say to it besides laughing at it. That criticism, white Christianity, what is white Christianity? I think the wokeness kind of starts to fall apart when someone says you're everything that's wrong with white Christianity. We'll just go back to them and say, okay, how do you define white Christianity? Please list the tenets of white Christianity as opposed to black Christianity. What is that? And could you please explain it to me and what am I missing here? And you'll find that those people will kind of start stuttering and stammering because they haven't thought that far. They've accepted this whole idea without really thinking below the surface level. So I think just asking questions, asking people to define their terms a little bit, and that usually is pretty self-defeating, like Kyle said.
Kyle, if you would, tell us about the Babylon Bee's battles with New York Times, Facebook, and other media platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. Ever since the beginning, we saw this kind of cabal of big tech media fact checkers, Wikipedia, believe it or not, that were kind of all in cahoots they do this weird like self-referential thing where they, one of them calls us misinformation, the other one cites that source, and then another source cites that source, and then it just starts getting passed around that we are a far right, dangerous misinformation source because the New York Times said that once, even though they retracted it. And now that's kind of just out there that we are a misinformation site. It does seem to me that people on the left have recognized the power of comedy and satire to mock and skewer their positions. And so we are a threat to them. I mean, Snopes was fact-checking us from the beginning because there were a lot of grandmas on Facebook who thought we were real and who were sharing articles that Stephen Furtick had a water slide baptismal at Elevation Church. They were passing that stuff around, or they were very concerned that Joel Osteen was sailing his yacht around flooded Houston to pass out copies of his book. So there were definitely some things at the beginning when our brand was less well known where people thought articles were real, even though they were absurd on their face. And so Snopes would fact check us, but it would be very tame. It was just like, hey, Babylon Bee is a lighthearted, funny Christian humor site. It's not real. Don't take it real. It's supposed to be satire. Come on, guys. And then once our satire kind of broke into the mainstream and we were commenting on current events and politics, the fact checks from all the fact checkers changed in tone, and it became like, why is Babylon Bee muddying the waters of a current event in order to spread harmful misinformation. You know, it's just like, wait, what? I thought we were just a satire site like anyone else. And if you compare the tone of the way that they fact check the Onion versus the way they fact check the Babylon Bee, there was a very different tone. With the Onion, they still had that playful, like, come on, guys, you know the Onion's a joke. And then with us, it was like, oh, there they go again, spreading that misinformation. So it was a clear partisan thing where, I mean, I do think on the one hand, there was almost an honest, they almost come by it honestly, because they really don't get the jokes on the Babylon Bee. Like, they can't read a joke that's attacking their side and understand it, because they don't have that empathy for our position. So they read a joke and they go, that's not a joke. That's just mean, or that's just making fun of me, you know? And I did an interview with The Atlantic that kind of went viral because the journalist kept asking me to explain the jokes, you know, and it was like, why is this funny? I don't understand. And it was just this weird, I have nothing against her. I thought she did a fine job, but it was clear that there was this leftist bubble where, like, that's not a joke. That's making fun of leftism, you know? and they're so used to conservatives being the butt of the joke that they didn't get it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of really gave them the benefit of the doubt for a long time with those fact checks and all that stuff. But once it came, you know, the New York Times is just several times kind of suggested that we are just spreading misinformation under the disguise of satire, under the guise of satire, I think they said. It just became clear that there was some kind of an agenda there. But our subscribers have been great. We always do a kind of a push for paying subscribers for the Babylon Bee when those kinds of things happen, and people respond. You know, we've had a wonderful amount of support from people that understand the jokes and just want people to get comedy. And so that is encouraging, I think, on that level.
Joel, how would you respond to someone who says Christians shouldn't engage in biting satire? Defend your livelihood.
Yeah, it's funny. I get that question a lot, and I still struggle to answer it because I don't see any conflict between writing biting, sometimes savage satire and Christianity, what we know in the Bible. I think there's a pretty strong tradition in the Bible. You look at the Old Testament prophets who mocked idolatry, from Isaiah to Elijah. And then, you know, Jesus himself, I think a lot of it gets lost in translation because, you know, we're not as familiar with that culture and the language of 2,000 years ago. But, you know, statements that, like, it's easier for a camel to walk through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven it's a pretty humorous, hyperbolic, satirical statement on Jesus's part. And, you know, Jesus, we know he didn't shy away from mocking and condemning the self-righteous Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time. And so we don't see that as being in conflict with Christianity at all. I think what we do try to keep in front of us all the time is that we never want to grow cynical or hateful in our satire. Even the people that we're kind of poking fun at, we do it out of love for others, even the people that we're laughing at sometimes. And we hope that joy and kind of playfulness comes across in whatever we're writing, even when we're being a little bit savage.
Joel Berry is managing editor of the Babylon Bee. Joel, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Todd. And before I go, let me just give a quick shout out to my awesome father-in-law, Randy Huner. He's a Missouri Synod Lutheran, and he loves your show.
Kyle Mann is editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee. Kyle and Joel together are co-authors of the new book, The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness. When you purchase this book using the link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Talk on Demand Archives, and look for the Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness. Kyle and Joel, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Thursday on Issues, etc., we'll discuss the prosecution of two Finnish Lutheran leaders for articulating the historic Christian teaching on human sexuality. Our guest will be Bishop Johanna Pohjala of the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland. And we'll continue our series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, looking at the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 21 through 23, talking about a different kind of fool.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.